Reports say Muammar Gaddafi is dead. We'll talk about the economic implications.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson, in for Steve Chiatakis. There are reports coming from Libyan rebel forces this morning that former Libyan dictator Muammar Gaddafi has been killed. The Obama administration is not confirming those reports yet. Now, there are a lot of implications for the oil-rich country, for the region, and for the world. We're going to talk now about the economic effects with Marketplace is Mitchell Hartman, who reported from North Africa at the beginning of the Libyan rebellion earlier this year. Good morning, Mitchell.
Hi, Jeremy.
So I assume that oil is where we should start looking for economic implications.
Well, yeah. You know, when I was in Cairo back in February, it was pretty clear that any major conflict breaking out next door in Libya was going to cause a lot of economic trouble. And it did. It hit tourism really bad. And it's part of what made global oil prices volatile. Peter Kemp of Petroleum Intelligence Weekly in London thinks there may be a momentary euphoria now with oil prices coming down. But he says it's not going to last long. He described the situation this way.
Extremely chaotic still, with a lot of damage in some of the oil fields. There's a chronic shortage of just about everything. So it's going to be many, many, many months before production normalizes.
And he thinks Libya's oil production will still be a third of what it was before the revolution at year's end. He says that's very optimistic.
All right. Well, what about the impact, Mitchell, for Libya's neighbors?
Well, you know, the armed conflict, there's widespread destruction, there was disruption of trade routes and guest workers. It's all had a heavy toll. Egypt had 2 million people working in Libya. A lot of them went home. It made Egypt's unemployment problems even worse. Magda Candle of the Egyptian Center for Economic Studies thinks things now will improve.
We hope that this would provide further avenues for Egypt to capitalize on its proximity to Libya, which is welcome news at a time when the economy remains very weak.
You know, and the U.S. also has to hope Egypt's economy will improve because they're a major ally and aid recipient.
Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman. Thanks, Mitchell.
You're welcome.
Well, now to Thailand, where devastating floods are getting dangerously close to the center of Bangkok. And now there are concerns that the rising waters will have an impact on global business. The BBC's Rachel Harvey joins us now from Bangkok. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, first of all, you've been out and about in the streets. Tell us how bad things are getting with these floods.
Well, the further north you go from Bangkok, the worse it becomes. The central provinces immediately to the north of Bangkok have been really hard hit. We're talking about millions of acres of farmland that are now completely inundated, communities that have been cut off by the floodwaters. In Bangkok itself, the government was saying a few days ago that the capital would be spared. But now they're saying the volume that has built up is so much that they can no longer say that the whole of the capital will be safe. Some parts will inevitably now be flooded. It's a question of how well they might be able to manage the flow of water through the capital city.
And we all remember the huge impact on supply chains around the world after the tsunami in Japan. Is this the kind of thing that could have an impact on business worldwide?
Potentially it could do, particularly in Japan at the moment, because there is a big Japan investment presence here in Thailand, both in the auto industry, in computer industry, and in food processing. And a lot of those firms are based in industrial parks, five of which have now had to be abandoned to the water. And of course, the longer that goes on, the greater the impact that will be had, not just here in Thailand, but regionally and globally. Already, Thailand is talking about possibly a cost in excess of $3 billion and maybe shaving at least a percentage point off GDP for the rest of this year.
The BBC's Rachel Harvey with us from Bangkok. Rachel, thanks.
You're welcome.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are down this morning. The Dow down 13 points, about 0.1% at 11,490. The NASDAQ down about 0.5%, and the S&P 500 basically flat right now. Overseas markets are lower as well as two big events unfold in Europe. Greek lawmakers are taking final votes today on a package of budget cuts that has to pass in order for Greece to get more bailout money. International creditors are warning this morning that that may not even be enough to solve Greece's problems. And as we near the Sunday deadline for the release of the grand plan to deal with the European debt crisis, there are reports that France and Germany are not on the same page yet.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. By Reputation.com, helping small business owners, professionals, and executives monitor, protect, and improve their online reputations. Reputation.com. And by Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu.
A Senate committee is holding a hearing right now on the future of the 30-year fixed mortgage if major changes are made to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Here's Marketplace's Adrian Hill.
30-year fixed-rate mortgages let borrowers pay off their homes slowly, with payments that are the same from month to month. They're straightforward. They're vanilla. And says Walter Maloney from the Association of Realtors.
The 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is the lifeblood of the housing industry.
All those exotic loans, all the rage during the housing bubble, are out of favor. Nearly all home loans offered today are long-term fixed-rate mortgages. USC professor Richard Green says there are a couple of reasons for that.
Part of it is the banks are just not that interested in doing the loans. Fannie and Freddie specialize in doing fixed-rate mortgages.
So those are the loans that are getting done. Green says there's also a demand issue.
People are just very afraid. They're looking for safety, and the longer-term mortgage is a safer mortgage.
He thinks the long-term fixed-rate mortgage is important to have as an option. Other shorter-term mortgages have value, too. But he says to improve the housing market, it's not the type of loan that matters so much as making it easier and faster to get it. I'm Adrian Hill for Marketplace.
And finally, to a new search engine from somebody who probably hasn't been Googled in a while. That would be 80s and 90s rapper MC Hammer. At a conference in San Francisco yesterday, Hammer unveiled a new web service called Wired Do that's supposed to add related information to search results. So if you search for MC Hammer, you might find links to dance classes or stores that sell parachute pants. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
Stop. Hammer time.
This is APM, American Public Media.
In a film about the financial crisis, you might expect a good guy, that'd be us, and a bad guy, the banks. But you think a little harder, the truth is a little more nuanced.
There actually is no pure evil. Each character is simply trying to act on the information that they have before them.
I'm Kai Rizdal, a Wall Street thriller, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.